Hello. This is Alfred Breyer. And I welcome you and want to thank you for joining me this evening. And I want to thank Eben, Pagan, Joe Polish, and John Butcher for giving me the opportunity to share my knowledge about self-esteem. I met Nathaniel Brandon 2 years ago. It was a moment of joy for me, because Nathaniel Brandon is the person who has changed my life many years ago without meeting me, without seeing me, without knowing me. I think you read maybe most of his books. And more than that, I didn't only read the books. I created exercises as well as using his own exercises to practice every part and every piece in his books. I'm not talking about sentence completion only, just that whatever I read, I created an exercise to build up my self-esteem, because my life story is based on a very low self-esteem. As a child, I was the most untalented person that you have ever met. And as a child, I was one of the lousiest students you ever found. And I was the worst in class, the worst in school, the worst in every courses that I took. I practiced piano for 11 years, and I couldn't even play a piece of song by heart. And I practiced martial arts for 11 years. I have a black belt. And I lost, all tournaments. And I practiced, I played soccer and for many years, but they never let me really play in any professional game. And I studied chess for 6 years, and I lost all games, all tournaments. So it's kind of a sad life story, and basically it's based on the idea that whatever I've done lowered my self-esteem because of many events of failure in my life. So I understood one thing is that if you try things many, many times again and again in many fields and you fail in all of them, probably your self-esteem will lower itself. And therefore, in a closed loop, we lower your ability to succeed at all. Therefore, you will fail again, and it will bring you to the bottom where you can start again. One of the things that happened to me is finding, the six pillars. That was the first book by Nathaniel Brandon. And I've started to exercise, and writing my own exercises to those great, amazing ideas. And what I've learned from Nathaniel Brandon, that self-esteem is basically, the dialogue that I'm creating with myself. There is an internal dialogue between a person and himself. And that internal dialogue, is trying to explain why I can't do what I want to do, why I cannot succeed in what I want to succeed. That internal dialogue brings you to the point where you start to believe, that what you estimate about your abilities is that your abilities are very low. Therefore, there is no need to work hard to achieve anything. And therefore, if you won't work hard to achieve it, you will fail every time, again and again, and therefore in a closed loop you will explain yourself. That you've been really born with no talents, with no abilities, you know, with no way of ending this loop. Internal dialogue that I've started to work on was the 30-week program. And I've also created some new material based on that. So if strategically I thought that I want to work on it, so I just took one of the sentences and started to write all this sentence completion. I will explain within a second how it works. But over time, by the internal dialogue, I've changed some of the events in my life, very small events, that I've created a successful moment. Those successful moments build up a little bit, by 1%, my self-esteem, and brought me over time to where I am today, mentoring the smartest people on earth, working with thousands of people and teaching them how to build their career. I've been working with executives of companies like HP, Microsoft, and more, and I've been working with highly achievers, individuals that making tens of millions a year. And I've had this chance, an opportunity to study with great people in my life. So let's go back and try to see what people really look for in their life. The way I see it, it's very simple. It's very simple. It's very simple because I think that most people in the Western world basically look for money. You see, money is only a resource that can be useful to change the level of your lifestyle. So it's either you live in a one-bedroom apartment and you want to have a two-bedroom apartment, either you're driving an old car and you want to have a new car, it's either you're sitting home and, reading the newspapers or going into the internet, or you want to buy great books in Amazon, or you can travel outside with your bicycles, or you want to travel to exotic places, around the world. It's a need to hire the way you live. It doesn't matter. It has to do with what you drink and how you sleep at night and what books you read and what courses you can take and what kind of exercise you can do and how many hours you sleep at night and do you sleep well at night and how many hours you work today and how many hours you have, to enjoy your life. And what I've seen, that people need money in order to better their self-esteem. I'm sorry, not their self-esteem. Yeah, also their self-esteem, but in order to better their lifestyle. Lifestyle for me, basically, the basic model is being able to sleep 8 hours a night, but sleep well. And then work, in a very precise manner for 8 hours and achieve great achievements. And the last 8 hours of a day, enjoy life. Look, you can enjoy life 8 hours a day, amazing. But if you know how to separate this model of 8, 8, 8, per day. And the next step that I've seen in people, if they know how to make enough money, if they know how to, to live better life, the next level, they want to be known for. Known for something. This is what we call today a little bit like personal branding. But let's talk about, having reputation. So you can have a reputation of being, the best lover or the best husband or wife or you can be the best knowledge worker in some field, or you can be the best friend of, but you want to be the best, okay? And being the best and known to be as the best has to do with a couple of ingredients that self-esteem is one of the most important one there, and I'll go through that through the session, you know, within the next 50 minutes. Now, the basically what we say is that if I want to change my life, I have to change what we call in system dynamics, the mental model of the system. Let's look at it for a second. We are a very complex system. Our personal operating system, which is our neck top, our little brain, has a control of our needs, of our body, about, you know, control of our mistakes and success and, you know, successful moments. And this personal operating system, you know, has habits that creates patterns of behavior. And those patterns lead you to behave the way you behave. So let's look at it for a second. Let's assume you are the CEO of your own brain, kind of the president of your life. So if we look at your team of managers inside your brain, and you can say, like, okay, you have somebody who controls, you know, your finance, like a VP of finance. So your vice president of finance, okay, is the one who brought you to be rich or poor, because he can manage money beautifully. And the other VP that you have in your own little brain, which is not that little, by the way, is the marketer. This is the one who does not know how to sell you, how to tell the world how talented you are, how smart you are, and what good you can bring to the world. The third thing is that you have another VP, the VP of sales. Let's assume you can market. Or you can make promises to the world. People will tell things about you, that you are so great. But when you look at it, when the moment comes and you meet the right person, you don't know how to close the deal. The deal of friendship, the deal of, you know, joint venture, the deal of sales, something. Because your sales VP, he doesn't know how to handle the situation. And you have, you know, a vice president that takes care for you being late for everything you do in life, or the vice president, you know, that brings the wrong people to your life, into your life, and it's the HR VP. So you're supposed to control them. But if you're a lousy CEO, and by the way, there are not many good CEOs in the world, and especially when it comes to personal system control, we are not that good as CEOs. Have you went to school to study how to be the CEO of your life? Have you learned how to control those little VPs inside your brain? But you see, because you haven't learned, your self-esteem might be wrong when it manages those little VPs in your brain. So now we know that we have a personal operating system inside our brain. We don't know how to analyze our behavior. Therefore, okay, we have a habit that brings us again and again to the same place, to the same level of success, and not higher than that. And I don't care if you make $100,000, you know, dollars a year, or you make $100 million a year, still there's limit to success there because of your behavior. Because you might make $200,000 or $200 million. And somehow, sometimes, you are being controlled by those VPs because you don't know how to manage them. They manage you. And if you have a low self-esteem, they will control your life. And if they will control your life, they will lead you to where you are. The second level of looking at our life will be, okay, then, let's assume that I have a management strategy and I know how to strategize myself and control my habits, my little VPs. Now comes the second level, saying, okay, what do I worth? What is my worth? What do I have to bring to the world? What do I have? Okay, what are the elements that you have acquired through the years? By learning, by going to school, you know, college, university, courses. What elements you acquire through experience in life, explicit knowledge, implicit knowledge, all the things that you have learned through life might be, if they're combined correctly, if they're organized correctly as a product, they can lead to the point where you can find a niche, a micro niche, okay, of people who really need what you know. You see, I've been working with many musicians in my life, and every time musicians, you know, and like more than 30 of them became to be world-known musicians. Some of them make millions of dollars a year, which in music it's not bad. And one of the things they always said to me, you know, like they want to be famous, and I asked them, right, what is famous for you? And they say, oh, well, I want everybody to know about me. Why everybody? I don't know, in order to make money. So I ask them, how much money you want to make? I don't know. So I ask them, would you like to make $400,000 a year? Which for musicians, you know, for many of them, it's quite a lot of money. You know, by making music or playing or, you know, singing. And basically, you know, all of them said, well, yes, I would love to make 400. And then I said, and what if I'll find only 1,000 people in the world, only 1,000, okay, that would love to pay you, $49 a month, okay, for your wisdom, for your knowledge, for your talent. And let's assume we have a product based on music. Therefore, you'll make more than $400,000 a year. So now what do you want? $400,000 a year or 10 million people in the world who know about you, okay? And you can't even you cannot even get a one-bedroom apartment for yourself. And you drive an old car, okay, that you have to fix every now and then. So you see, sometimes because of self-esteem, we want things that have nothing to do with reality of what we really need. So the next part is, please organize your knowledge in a way that people who need your knowledge will be willing to pay you for your knowledge. It's not simple to understand what are the things that you know, because there are many elements and only one combination or two combinations will work, as it goes for finding the niche of those 1,000 people who are willing to pay you for what you know. The next phase is having a strategy of controlling, okay, your plans for the next 3 years. You see, when I work with people, I force them to write a 36-month plan. And the plan is about everything they do. It's about how they sleep. It's about their sex life. It's about, you know, what they eat, about how they exercise, how much money they make, how much time they work for it. We put all the resources in it and saying, this is what we want to get in 36 months. And we have around 40 something elements that you have to control and manage, because one of them can ruin the other. Let me explain. There was a guy who came to me and said, offer, could you help me to make $10 million? I said, yes. Oh, no problem. I said, are you sure? I said, yes. okay, let's start. I said, okay, I just want you to know one thing, is that you'll have to work 18 to 20 hours a day for the next 3 years, and you'll make $10 million for sure. I just want to tell you that in the end of the 3 years, okay, you will have a high level of sugar in your blood, and they will have to cut off one of your feet. Are you willing to go for it? Because you will not have the time to eat correctly, and you will live under stress, and you will not sleep enough. You will come to be sick. This is the price you have to pay, and there's a price for everything. So I said, well, no, I don't want to have that. Okay, great. So are you willing to make only $8 million and have a foot to walk? Okay. So, yes, sure. Of course, that's one of it. It's very interesting to see that people are willing to buy their own food for $2 million, by the way. And then I said to him, fine, let's go for it. $8 million, but you have to work 16 hours a day, and you will not have a high level of sugar in your blood, and you will not cut up your foot, but you will lose your family. They will leave you. Your wife will leave you. Are you willing to go for that? Now, I assume that he loves his wife and he wants to have her. So he says, no, I don't want to lose my wife. I don't want to lose my family. I care about them very much. And I said to him, great, okay, then you'll have to be at home so we won't be able to make those $8 million. We'll be able to make only $6 million because you'll have to be more at home and you will not have enough time. And then he said, cool, sure, I want to have my family. And it was very interesting to me to see that how many people, are willing to buy a family for $2 million. The end result that he was very happy with $4 million working 8 hours a day. I don't say that you can make $40 million or $400 million, but you have to know what the prices that you're paying, in other fields. So when you write a 36-month plan, you have to understand it. But the problem is, when we start to go by a plan, okay, we basically build up a potential of your talent, a potential of the strategy to bring you there, okay, and the potential of the products that you are creating, okay, from the knowledge that you have. So the problem is that on the way to getting the results, something is happening. And the thing that is happening there, okay, that there are interferences, some interferences that don't let you get the results you want. So the formula is P minus I interferences are your results. And the interferences can come as ideas from the outside or things that come from outside, like other people tell you or things that happen in the world that you can't control. Okay, these are external interferences, and some of the interferences we have are internal, inside of us. We have a lot of interferences in this complex personal operating system that bring us to the point, okay, that we get the end of the road, poor results. We have to clean those interferences. They cannot be there. You must know where you're going. Therefore, you must build a realistic self-esteem. And soon we'll talk about realistic self-esteem. It means it's not high, it's not low, it's realistic. So the fourth thing is having the tools. So now that you have, control, you understand your personal operating system, which is a very complex system, okay, emotionally, intellectually, physically, it's very, very, very complex. Then you know what you sell and to whom. Okay. And then you have a strategy that you have to follow in all aspects of life. Now come the tools, management skills, management tools to control all the three levels that we've been talking about. Like you have to control, the CEO and the VPs in your brain. You have to build up the best product to the best market, to the right market. And you have to have tools for this. And you have to have tools also, to control the strategy over time. And those tools are tools to optimize, you know, our energy, our time, and our money, okay? Or what I called TED, T-E-D, time, energy, and dollars. You have to optimize all of them, because each one of them can become to be an interference to your results. Each one of them. If you don't sleep well at night, you might make the wrong decision the next day. If you have bad relationship at home, you might make mistakes, in decisions that you make in your business. It's things that happen in your business that can ruin, okay, your relationship at home or with friends. So you have to understand that this complex system is based on the idea that everything counts, and it's a machine, huge technology inside your brain of cause and effect loops. Okay. Now, the fifth level is that you must build up a network of the right people around you. It's not, listen to me, it's not how many people you know. It's do you know the right people? You see, I have very few friends, but they are the right people who bring me to the right places at the right time. But now that I have the opportunities, now we have to understand, okay, how self-esteem is related to it, because your self-esteem can create a bad cells, process at the moment of when opportunity comes. Now, let's understand, networking with the right people, not with how many people you know. You have to understand. I know people that have 500,000 people, you know, on their Facebook profile, and I know people who have 2 billion people on LinkedIn, and I'm just kidding, 2 billion, you know. But and I know people that have, you know, on their Outlook, you know, on Microsoft Outlook, they have a list, a huge list. This is not enough. You have to know the right people in order to make, okay, to make it right, building your energy, your time, okay, I mean, using your time in the right manner and making the money. Now, let's go now back to where we are, the self-esteem process, which I have learned from, I think, the person who changed not only my life of all my students over the years, you know, all the people that I've mentored, and this is Dr. Nathaniel Brandon, one of the brightest persons in the world, in understanding, really understanding, in the deepest level, okay, what self-esteem is and how to build it. What I've done is, after, you know, working on his techniques, you know, exercise, I have understood a couple of things, which is my own point of view on it, of course. And I want to share with you some of those points of views before we go to some exercise and some, you know, tools that you can use. For me, there is a big difference between self-esteem and self-confidence. What I've seen in my life as a teacher for so many years, I mean, I'm 54 years old, and I've been teaching since I was 3 years old, so like I have 51 years of experience. Don't laugh, because I was teaching my puppet since I was 3 years old. And one of the things I've seen in my life is teaching so many people, thousands of people, that the self-confidence is being built in a person when he's young. Let me explain for a second. It's my belief that the person builds his self-confidence in the first 3 years of his life. This is my own point of view. How does it happen? Assuming you have a child, somebody has a child, and he does not have time for a child. You know, those parents who get up 6 o'clock in the morning in order to survive, and they have like 2 or 3 children, and they come back home at 10 o'clock at night, and those children live out there in the streets, and the parents come home, they're tired, they don't have time for them, don't help them with their homework, don't teach them anything. Those kids live in the streets. From a first look, if you look at those kids having the experience of living in the streets, it looks like they have a very high self-esteem. Though the truth is that their self-esteem is very low. If you tell him one wrong word, okay, he will take the knife and will try to cut you, because he has to defend. He has to defend his very low self-esteem. Those guys who have lived in the streets, okay, have very low self-esteem. Therefore, they behave the way they behave. But there are the other children, you know, of those parents who, you know, work with them and be with them, and the mother is at home all the time and tell the little child, don't do this and don't do this and be afraid of this and don't do this, you know, don't do and don't and don't and don't and don't. And those guys, when they grow up, okay, they have very low self-confidence. I'm sorry, it was confidence before too. So it's very low self-confidence because he has many fears, okay, that his parents built in him to be afraid of doing anything in life. Those guys, they will use counselors probably for the rest of their life, you know, because of have those great fears, don't let them do anything that has to do with some courage of changing their life. But there are those kids who are 10% of the population, which their parents tell them, yes, you can try almost anything. Okay? So, but I'll give you the tools how to behave in this situation. Yes, you can try it, but let me teach you something how to do it. And this is the point, okay, when people build really self-confidence, saying, I have the courage to try new things, and that's because I have some of the knowledge that is needed for me to try it, and all the rest will be based on trial and error and experience that you get. Over the years, this self-esteem, this self-confidence, I'm sorry, bring the person to some point in his life. And now let's go to look at self-esteem for a moment. The way I see self-esteem, if the self-esteem can be changed, you know, in different areas of life or in different moments of life. You can have high self-esteem in one area in life while having a very low self-esteem in another area. Let's say, as a CEO of a company, you are one of the best around, you know how to make the right decisions all the time, and you are very with high self-confidence and self-esteem. But when you come home, there's somebody else who controls you. It's your wife or your spouse. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. Or you're being controlled by your kids who are stronger than you are. Okay, because you have a very low self-esteem as a parent, you know, or as a husband or as a wife. Look, it can happen, you know, within moments, you know, that can change the level of self-esteem of the moment. Imagine a guy who works for a huge company and he makes sales, like business to business, B2B sales. And he has closed a deal of $5 million today. And he comes back to the office and his boss is calling him and say, wow, how did it go? You made $5 million for us. You are the best. Okay, I want to buy you lunch. So he goes with his boss to have lunch with the VP sales. And then they come back to the office, and the VP sales calls all the other guys and tell them, look, John made $5 million for us today. He's the best. And this guy, he feels so great, and his self-esteem grows because he had some moments of success. And then 2 hours later, the secretary of the boss is calling him, you know, and telling him, we've decided to give you a gift, you know, from the company, and you should go home now and make a surprise, you know, to your wife, and take her to a spa and it's and we pay for it, like dinner, spa, jacuzzi, whatever. So he's going home to surprise his wife. Being surprised, finding his wife with another man in bed. And all this high self-esteem they have had this morning of being the best salesperson in the world for the moment can be lowered in one afternoon, okay, to places where you can make all the mistakes in the world in that moment. Self-esteem is changeable, the way I see it. But what I've learned from Nathaniel Brandon is that you can create an internal conversation with yourself that will help you control those moments. That means self-esteem is not high or low. Self-esteem must be realistic. You must estimate your abilities in the right, you know, percentage. You're not bigger than what you are, and you're not lower than what you're really worth. And you can change the way you look at it. It doesn't say, okay, that you are not a man if you find your wife this way. And it doesn't say that you have not closed the sale, that you are the laziest, you know, salesperson in the world. The point is that you have to be realistic about your abilities, because when it comes to sell yourself to other people, you know, you want to network, you want to sell, you know, your knowledge, you want to sell your experience to other people, you must be in a position that you estimate yourself, okay, in a realistic way. Now, why is that important? So, you see, people in the world, they look for people to follow. Let me explain for a second. They look for leaders. You see, leadership for me is based on three main components. One is a person, okay, who really understands the field he is in. He understands it in a macro level and a micro level. He understands all the details, okay? But he can see it also from 30,000 feet above. He can see the relationship between his knowledge, okay, and the competitors or other people in different fields, you know, but related fields. That's a macro level. On the micro level, when you're asking questions about his field, he really understands. Now, you see, if a person knows very well how to make, let's say, money, or how to build up the best relationship in the world with his, you know, spouse. And by the micro level, he can explain everything, he understands everything, he understands, you know, what's going on. This is the person I want to learn from. Therefore, this is the person I want to become to be his friend. So, or his student, or to him to be my mentor, it doesn't matter. But let's talk about friendship. We want to follow people who succeed in any field, even succeed in diets. Okay, now, a leader is somebody who really understands on the macro level the field he's in, and then the micro level, you know, we understand everything in the Excel form. The next thing that, you know, a leader has, okay, is the ability to tell the story. A storyteller. But let me explain what storytelling means when I talk about storytelling. Telling the story is being able to paraphrase a complex system. He really understands on the macro level and the micro level, and he can really tell me the story of what's going on in this field. He can explain to me, okay, the future of this field. If somebody knows the future, this is the person I will follow. If somebody can explain me and tell me the story of the future, I will follow him. Because what I don't know is what's going to happen in the future. I really know the past. Somehow I understand what's going on now, but what I want to know is the future. So if he can tell you, and if he convinces you that you really understand by the macro level and micro level, he is a leader. But you see, we look for some more things in a leader, because we need in a leader one more thing besides of storytelling. We need him to be, you know, in a very high level of ability to be expert in dialogue. Okay? Let me explain. Dialogue is the place where we market ourselves. So is it either with the crowd or with another person, it doesn't matter. And you see, the art of dialogue is the ability to tell a sentence, the same sentence. Okay? But the sentence will have different impact each time. Let me give you an example of how you say a sentence for a moment. Let's say I'm telling you, I want you to take responsibility about your life. And I will use accents for each word in the sentence. If I'll tell you, I want you to take responsibility about your life, it sounds a little different when I say, I want you to take responsibility, or I want you to take responsibility about your life. Or I want you to take responsibility about your life. So the accent change what the person is listening. Okay? I can use spaces, like saying, I want you to take responsibility about your life. Or I want you to take responsibility about your life. So saying this sentence and being able to tell the story and understanding the micro and the macro level, this is leadership. You see, all these things are the charisma that people have, that people will follow. Look how many people follow, you know, Anthony Robbins, my friend. How many people follow Evan Pagan? How many people follow, you know, like other people, great people, because of their charisma? Because of the understanding on the macro and the micro level, the ability to tell the story of something that has to do with your future, and they are the experts in the art of dialogue. So your charisma is based on many, you know, components that are really important for you to build yourself up in your business. But you see, if your self-esteem is too high or too low, it might bring you to the point, okay, when it's too high, that you might lead people to the wrong places, and if it's too low, it will be the same. And if you are realistic and people understand it, your self-esteem is realistic and it's not an ego thing, and that your pathetic insecurities don't interfere you for your results, and you gather results, and the results are real, people will follow. And this is very important for us, that people will follow if we have something to give them that will shape your daily life, you know, change their future, build, you know, better relationship for them, help them to make money, make them happier, healthier, and so on. So what I found, that self-esteem is built up on two levels, internal dialogue and external experience. Let me explain. You see, every day that we live in our life, our mental model, our mentality kind of, let's say, okay, is building kind of a structure and a system to our life. We build different kinds of system of, you know, how we manage our life. We build the structure of a family, relationship, network, you know, some kind of this system and structure, okay, is creating patterns of behavior. Or let's say process of behavior. And the process leads to events of success and failure. So a couple of them you will succeed, a couple of them you will fail. See, the way I see it, when I work with people, I want them to fail. In order to build their self-esteem, they must fail. But you see, to fail on a small scale, on a very low scale, every day is right. You know, to fail in something, to learn from it, to understand it, to analyze it, to make some change, that on the second day, this thing again, you never fail, but you'll fail in some other things. Because sometimes in our life, we make big mistakes. When we make the big mistakes, okay, this is where the low self-esteem or high self-esteem, you can, you know, can make it worse. Because the idea is that every moment in our life, when we make a mistake and learn from it, okay, we optimize our ability, okay, to grow and become to be better and better in what we do. Now, the point is that we can create a better process next time to achieve a success. But if a person never fails and everything goes great for him all his life, and one day he has to encounter a big moment when he might fail and lose $20 million out of 22 or some other number, this is the moment when we will not have the experience, okay, to deal with the fail. He has never built himself to go through the failure models in order to really succeed in life. So, but you see, it's not just to fail, because you can fail every day. And if you don't have a tool and a technique to optimize and learn from this mistake and be better next time and not make the mistake again or change the level of it, then when it comes to big things in life, you might fail because you don't have the experience, okay, to be in the moment of failure and be able to deal with it, you know, and solve it. Now, so one thing is taking every event in our life, okay, and I've built systems for this, you know, how to analyze every moment in life and how to analyze it within 6 minutes and how to learn from it quickly and how to be creative enough to understand and how, you know, what is the solution for the next time that it will happen and so on. But you see, all events of failure and all events of success build our self-esteem. But at the same time, if the internal dialogue about the reality, you know, reality never lies. You have a moment of failure and success, but over time, you've made it. You have a nice family. You've made enough money. You live a great life. And still, you feel low self-esteem. Okay? I feel pity for those people. You've got it all, but not the one thing that will change what you really feel about yourself. So, what I see in this is that people need to build up, you know, the dialogue, the internal dialogue inside of them. And the internal dialogue can be done strategically by going through, you know, the sentence completion program, which you have, you know, here in the program. You can find the book, you know, this that 13, I think, pages and course instructions of sentence completion, you know, the work that have been, you know, for me, look, I have done it for 6 years, again and again, again and again. I was even, you know, very hard with myself, you know, because Nathaniel Brandon is saying, go for it and do it every morning. But you see, I did it within 30 seconds of waking up, okay? And I took one sentence and I did 10 sentence completion. It's like, you can see, like, if you go into week one, you know, in the program, and you see, if I bring more awareness to my life today, you see, the word if brings you to the word then. If then is based on systems dynamics, on systems thinking, on cause and effect. Because everything, okay, has effect, you know, in everything you do, as well as your internal dialogue has effect, it can affect on how you do and what you do the next day. So I can take, if I bring more awareness to my life today and write 10 sentence completion, it doesn't matter what you write, by the way. You can write anything that comes up. You can write even, if I bring more awareness to myself today, I will buy bicycles. I will ride my bicycles. It doesn't matter what you write. You can write anything that comes to your mind. But you have to, you know, within 3 minutes to write 10 sentence completion. And you do it within 30 seconds when you wake up. And you do it daily by the program, week one, week two, week three. And over time, and I've done it, you know, for 6 years again and again, 30 weeks and another 30 weeks. First you get to the point, you know, you talk in a very high level to yourself, And you say amazing things to yourself, you know, after talking about, like, you know, you know, you have a very high level conversation with yourself, first of all. And over time, those things, you know, those sentences, they do something. Guys, I don't know what it does, but it changed really completely my life and the life of my, you know, hundreds or many thousands of students. And then you have a weekend question that you go through and so on and so on. But the other thing I've done is I've changed a little bit the program. Excuse me, Dr. Brandon, my friend. I've done something else with it too. What it is, sometimes, you know, it takes long time to build a self-esteem. I mean, it can take sometimes, you know, years. And sometimes the low self-esteem can be lowered by an inference of a day. Something that happened that day, because I'm not that strong strategically yet with my self-esteem, the deep thinking take me, you know, to the point of lowering the self-esteem just for an hour or two or 3 hours or a day or two. So I viewed it in a different way. I've looked at the problem definition of the moment, kind of what caused the low self-esteem of the moment of that day. Okay? Let's say that a friend, somebody, you know, a co-worker told you something like something which feels not nice of listening to. He told you that you are not a serious person, or he doesn't like you, whatever. And then what I did is I think, okay, what caused the problem? What caused the problem? Okay. Now, I understand that it's something in my behavior, that brought him to the point of saying what he said to me. And let's say that this behavior was that I didn't, pay attention to him because he was trying to tell me something. And then I go and write a sentence that I pay more attention to John then. And I do it in the first thing, you know, first thing in the morning, next day. And then I write 10 sentences. And it might be if I pay more attention to John, I will write, you know, the things that he's trying to tell me, or I will record the things, or if I'm paying more attention to John, I will listen to his feelings, and if I pay more attention to John, you know, I'll set a time to sit with him and talk to him, and if I pay more attention to John, I will join him for lunch and ask him, you know, things, and if I pay more attention to John, I will be able to understand something about myself, and so on. Let's assume that you have 10 sentences. And one of them would be, like, if I pay more attention to John, I will learn something about myself. That was one of the 10 sentences. Then, I take this sentence, okay? If I pay more attention to John, I will learn something about myself. The next day, I will take the learn something about myself, and I will write it as the sentence, you know, the beginning of the completion for the next day, saying, like yesterday I said, if I may pay more attention to John, I had 10 sentences and I found this sentence. Now, this sentence, if I learned something by myself, then I would go, okay, if I learned something about myself, that's the second day. And I have 10 answers. And one of the answers will be, if I learn more about myself, if I learn something about myself, I will be able to be more quiet and be able, to concentrate on what people say to me. Let's assume this is the sentence. Now I'll take this sentence. If I'll be able to focus on what people tell me, and so on. Now I go, like, for this for 10 days. Have a sentence. Make 10 sentence completions. Take the best one that really, really is, you know, the best completion that I've written, that I think that is important to deal with. Put this one on the same day, you know, and trying to figure out where it brings me. You create an internal dialogue based on systems dynamics, which close the loop and bring you to the point of story that you can tell to yourself. Now, what I do is I take all those 10 sentences that have been chosen every day, and I run them one after the other. And then I change the connection between the sentences that say, tell me a story. I'm paraphrasing, you know, something that has to do with my, you know, my future, saying that if I'll bring, you know, if I'll be able to be, to pay more attention to John, I will be able to learn something about myself, and therefore we'll be able to, and therefore we'll be able to, and therefore we'll be able to. And all this process can, within 10 days, you know, bring you back, you know, to the spot where you are, you know, what you're worth, what you do, and how you go. And then you go back, and you continue to go with the program by Dr. Brendon. Okay, now we have maybe 1 or 2 minutes to finish. Guys, I want to thank very much John Butcher, Joe Polish, my friend, and Eben Pagan, for doing one of the most important things, I believe, in the world today. Because, you know, guys, I live in Israel. It's an area where we have endless war. And the way I see war is, you know, has to do with high self-esteem and low self-esteem of teams, of groups, of people. And I see self-esteem something that creates war between people, and, you know, and between couples, you know, and in relationship. And self-esteem can ruin, you know, relationship in companies, and self-esteem can ruin, you know, even the internal dialogue with this person, with a person with himself. And I believe, you know, that the work of, you know, collecting all this great information and doing all this great job, John Butcher, Joe Polish, Eben Pagan, and of course, you know, the men who have created something which I believe that will be remembered in the next 1,000 years in psychology, the men who have created, you know, the best simple methodologies in the world, the smartest methodologies, Dr. Nathaniel Brendon. So thank you, John. Thank you, Joe Polish. Thank you, Eben Pagan, my dear friend. And thank you, Nathaniel Brendon, who is also a dear friend, but also the person who had the biggest impact on my life. And thank you all for being here and listening. Thank you for joining, you know, us here, and me, myself. And I hope we'll have another opportunity to meet again, and for me to be able to share with you whatever I can, whatever I know, to help you to design a better life, you know, to shape your life, in order to create a better future. Thank you, and goodbye.